Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake. While all people were along the shore at the water's edge, he taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." When he was alone, the 12 and others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown on them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires of other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown in good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, and some 100 times what was sown."
He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear." "Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them." He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts a sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thanks, Tally. I think it's fair to say that Jesus is the most divisive person that has ever lived. He's the most divisive person that has ever lived because the responses people have to Jesus are so varied and so different. When Jesus was doing his ministry and teaching, some people loved him and wanted to follow him and give up everything for him, and others wanted to kill him and opposed him. I think it's the same today. Every person in this room has to decide, how are you going to respond to Jesus? How are you going to respond to him? And he's just as divisive, because there are some people who hear about Jesus and follow him, serve him, live for him. And there are others who want nothing to do with him. And for those of you who are Christians, this might sometimes feel a bit discouraging. You're sharing with your friends about Jesus, or your colleagues, or your children, or your neighbours, and they don't believe, they don't respond, and it can feel discouraging, but it's always been this way. It's not just a 2025 thing. Even back in the time of Jesus, such divisive, different responses. And so to explain this, Jesus tells a story. He tells a parable. In the parable, there's three key elements. Each represents something important. Firstly, you got the seed, then the farmer, and then the soil. The seed represents, Jesus says, the seed represents the gospel, the good news of Jesus. That news that Jesus loved us and died for us on a cross to pay the price for our sins and rose again from the dead. I think it's described as a seed because a seed can bring life, can't it? It has the power to bring life. And the good news of Jesus, it has the power to transform your life and to bring eternal life for everyone. We can never forget how powerful the gospel is. Maybe you remember when you first heard the good news of Jesus and it sunk down into your heart and it transformed you. That's the seed, the gospel. The second thing is the farmer. And the farmer represents Jesus. Jesus has been sowing the seed. He's been telling people about God, telling people the gospel, and there's been all kinds of responses. But actually, I think also the farmer can represent you and me, because we're called to share Jesus, to sow the seed, to tell others about Christ. I love the image of the farmer sowing the seed, because you just get the picture from that parable that he's not being stingy with the seed. He's not going, oh, I've only got a little bit of seed, so I'm going to be careful where I plant it. He's just throwing it everywhere. It's landing in all kinds of different places. And I think that's an encouragement for us as we tell people about Jesus and shine as a light. Let's just proclaim Jesus to everyone who will listen. And then we've got the soil. And really, I think this is the main point of the story. I know it's called the parable of the sower, but really it should be called the parable of the four soils, because that's the main point. Each of those soils represents the human heart. My watch gives me information about how my heart is going. It tells me about different things and gives me different insights. I don't know if your watch does that. What we got a chance to do here is a bit of a spiritual heart test when Jesus tells this parable. Each of those soils represents a human heart, and we got a chance to go, well, how's my heart going? Which one am I? Which one of those soils is me? So let's look at the four soils. The first one, the first soil is the hard heart. The hard heart. The farmer, he's sowing the seed. It falls on the path and birds come and snatch it up and it never grows. And Jesus, in verse 15, if you look at verse 15, Jesus explains it. He says, some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. On Friday night, I was at a barbecue with some of the men of our congregation here. And as we were eating, two kookaburras flew down, perched on the fence, waiting for their moment, waiting, until someone wasn't looking, paying attention, and one of them went for a swoop. I think they failed, but they got pretty close, trying to snatch the sausage out of that person's hand so it never made their mouth. And maybe you've experienced that when you're down at the beach having fish and chips and the seagulls come and you've got to guard your chips. And Jesus says that this first seed, it lands on the ground, and before it has a chance to grow, the birds are snatching it. And it represents someone who has a hard heart. They hear about Jesus, and Satan snatches it away. Stops them from listening. Their hearts are hard. And they never respond with belief. It's, of course, what Satan wants. Satan does not want anyone to believe in Jesus. This is the person who you invite them to Alpha or Christianity Explored. They come to church. They hear the same gospel and they say, I want nothing to do with it. I want nothing to do with it. In Jesus' time, this was the Pharisees. Jesus preached and the Pharisees, they just wanted to kill him. No belief at all. And Jesus actually says, this is kind of why he tells parables. Parables are to sift out who has a hard heart that doesn't believe and who has a soft heart that believes. In between Jesus telling the parable and explaining the parable to the sower, he's got this tricky part, verse 10 to 12, where he talks about parables. By the way, a third of what Jesus said was parables, so he loved to speak in parables. And look at what he says, verse 10. When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. People often describe parables like illustrations. They're not really. They're more like a riddle. They filter out responses. Because some people hear the parable that Jesus tells and they don't believe. They want nothing to do with it. They don't even want to find out. But others are like the disciples here who they hear the parable and they come to Jesus and they go, what's the deal with the parable of the sower? Tell me more. They're kind of like stained glass windows. When you pass a beautiful church, you see the stained glass windows on the outside. When you're looking from the outside, they just kind of look like dull windows. When you go inside and you see the sun shining through them, they become a beautiful piece of art. The parables Jesus tells is designed to cause some people to want to go on the inside, want to hear more. But for those whose hearts are already hard, it just confirms their unbelief. It confirms that they don't want anything to do with Jesus. And so Jesus explains why he tells parables, because it really does illustrate that first soil, the hard heart. There is a warning here for all of us. Maybe you're thinking, well, maybe that's me. Has the Word of God ever gone from just being theoretical knowledge to actually changing your heart? Maybe a great prayer to pray is, God, I want to believe. I want to believe. Soften my heart. Help me believe. It's a great prayer to pray. That's the first soil. It's the hard heart. The second soil is this, the shallow heart. The shallow heart. The farmer's sowing the seed. Some of the seed falls on rocky places. There's not much soil. The roots don't go deep, but the plant grows. When the sun comes, it just withers. Jesus explains it, verse 16. He says, others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. This is the person who hears about Jesus and they go, yes, how amazing is Jesus? He died for me, he rose again, he loves me. I want to be a Christian. And they're filling out the response card. Yes, I want to follow Jesus. and they're getting baptized and they're celebrating and they're serving at church and everything is great until life gets hard. Things get difficult. Or in particular, until a colleague questions, why are you going to church? Or a parent disapproves of your decision. Or your workplace pressures you to conform. Or your friends make fun of you. And then all of a sudden, you go, I thought everything was going to be awesome all the time if I became a Christian. What's going on? And they throw in the towel. They've been fooled into thinking that to be a Christian means life is always awesome. It is awesome. It's life to the full. But you're following Jesus who died on the cross. There's going to be persecution. There's going to be suffering. Jesus is worth it. George Whitefield was a passionate preacher in the First Great Awakening, and he used to preach to thousands of people. And people would ask him, how many people became a Christian in that sermon just then? And he would respond and say, we'll see in a few years. We'll see in a few years. What's he saying? He's saying, well, time will show who lasts the distance. Because being a Christian, it's not a short-distance sprint. It's a long-distance marathon. You've seen sparklers when you light a sparkler. You light it and immediately the spark's flying everywhere and it's really exciting and you're waving it around. But very quickly, it goes out, doesn't it? Compare that. When I was writing this sermon, I lit a candle and I even had a fan on next to my desk and the breeze was going, but the candle stayed alight for hours. And that's the Christian life. It is not a short-distance sprint where you fizzle out. It's a long distance. Roots. That's the problem with this soil. The deep roots. Can I say, how good is it that we have grown at 10:30? How good? But I would much prefer if we had a congregation half this size with deep roots, people who love Jesus, love his word. I'd much prefer that than a congregation twice this size with shallow roots. Christians who haven't gone deep in their trust in God, deep in God's word, deep in Christian community. It is so easy to grow a church filled with shallow Christians who are swayed by hype or whatever it might be and not gripped by Jesus deep in their hearts. I think it's why it's so important when someone becomes a Christian. We need people to disciple them. We need people to show them how to follow Jesus, teach them the Bible, show them how to pray so that the roots go deep. Is that true? Soil number three is the strangled heart. The strangled heart. Look at what Jesus says in verse 18. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. I don't know if you've ever gone to a rainforest and seen a strangler fig. A strangler fig finds a tree and wants to steal its sunlight. And so it wraps itself around the host tree, round and round and round, all the way to the top. And often what happens is the host tree dies and the strangler fig is left and the middle is hollow. And Jesus' warning here is there are people who become Christians, but they get strangled. Their hearts are strangled. They may still be a Christian, by the way. This third type of person, they may still be a follower of Jesus. They may still be a Christian. But they're being choked. Choked by the worries of the world so that they are not bearing fruit. They may still be a Christian, but they're not living the life God has called them to live because of the thorns in their life that distracts them, chokes them, and strangles the fruit. It could be the worries of the world. So many things to worry about and freak out about. And they consume our attention instead of Jesus. Or it could be wealth. That's what Jesus names there, the deceitfulness of wealth. Because wealth is deceitful, isn't it? Wealth lies to us and tells us, oh, this is, you know, trust in me. That's how you're going to be safe. That's how you're going to be secure. That's how you're going to be happy. All lies. Wealth is so deceitful. And many Christians get choked by the love of wealth. It could be all kinds of things. I got really close friends who, when I was younger, I served in ministry with them. And then I watched as they got jobs and lost a bit of passion. And then they got mortgages. And that started to consume more of their time and energy. And then some of them had kids, and slowly, slowly choked. And many of them aren't Christians anymore. I've got to say, this has challenged me this week. I think I got some thorns in my own heart, or some weeds that I've got to do some weeding in my heart. Things in the world that are distracting me. Distracting my time with God or my dependence on Him. I've got to do some weeding. Maybe you've got to do some weeding in your own heart. And soil number four. Soil number four is the fruitful heart. Jesus says, verse 20, others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. Unlike the first soil, this person's heart is not hard. They hear and believe. Unlike the second soil, this person has roots that go deep. They trust Jesus. They endure to the end, even in the face of trials and temptations. Unlike the third soil, this person's heart is undivided, undistracted. They welcome the word of God exclusively. And they bear fruit. They bear fruit not just once, but over and over and over again. They bear fruit for Jesus. It could be the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. It could be the fruit of prayer and obedience. It could be the fruit of sharing Jesus with others. Because as others come to know Jesus, the crop multiplies. They bear fruit that lasts into eternity. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Oh, isn't it great that that's me? Isn't it great that that's me? I'm the fourth soil. Well, beware. The only reason you are the fourth soil, if that is you, is not because you're awesome. It's because God in His mercy softened your heart so that when you heard about Jesus, it changed you and you were saved. In His Holy Spirit, He made your heart alive. He made your heart soft. He caused you to trust Him. And so praise God, there are many people here who are bearing fruit for Jesus. But it's only by His grace. As we finish, I want to go back to the three elements. Firstly, look at the seed. That gospel of Jesus, it is so powerful. It changes lives. Secondly, look at the farmer. As you and I spread the word and sow the seed, There's going to be different responses. I know there's people here who've been praying for their kids to become Christians for decades. No response. Or been sharing Jesus with a colleague and they're just apathetic. Keep sowing. Keep praying. Don't be discouraged. God changes hearts. You never know whose heart out there is going to be the good soil. Keep preaching. And lastly, look at the soils. Look at your heart. Which one is you? Pray that God would soften your heart so you accept the word. Pray that your roots would go deep so you persevere. Pray that God would remove any weeds or thorns in your life that are choking out the fruit, so that you listen, trust Jesus, and bear fruit that will last for eternity. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would be softening our hearts. May each of our hearts be like the good soil. Speak to us, change us, transform us. We pray that we would follow you and serve you wholeheartedly and bear fruit for you, that you'd be magnified, that your church would grow until the Lord Jesus returns. Amen.